We're in this series that I brought back. We've done it a couple times, and it's one of my favorite, called Running with the Giants. And it's built around this thought that what if you could have the heroes of the faith come and sit with you and give you instruction? For those of you who are into sports and athletics, one of my all-time favorites just growing up as a Georgia fan and an Atlanta Braves fan and all that was I got to meet Hank Aaron when I was 12 at an all-star baseball league and got to have my picture taken with him and still have the baseball today. It's in my office today, so leave it alone. Nobody come looking for it. And it's just one of those things that he, and I can still remember him as a 12-year-old giving us very basic, you know, basic baseball skills. But what if we could do that with people who made the Bible, who could come, and the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, this is what we base it off of, that there's this crowd of witnesses. In other words, there's people who have gone before us in the faith. I believe, and we can get into the theology later if you want to debate it, but I believe I can prove this to be true, that they can see us. And the Bible says they're cheering us on. It says, let us strip off everything that slows us down and run this race. Let us run with endurance. In the next part there, it says, and let us run with endurance the race that God set before us. And here's the truth of the matter. No matter where you may be in life today, you could have served God and known Jesus for 50 years, or maybe you don't know him and you're just trying to figure all this out. We're all on this journey, every one of us. Even an atheist will tell you, I don't believe there's a God. Or maybe an agnostic who believes, well, you can't really know there's a God, but there's something floating out there. We're all going somewhere. The question is where? And there's only two choices. And the Bible says that we run this race that God set out before us. And I believe that the witness in heaven, the stands and the stadium in heaven, they're cheering us on. But the problem is, if you've ever been in a stadium when you have more than a few people screaming, you can't hear that one. So what if that one person could come down out of the stands and run a lap of life with us? What if they could come hang out with us and tell us, hey, I did that, but I wouldn't do that. I've done that, but you may want to reconsider that. Or give us their one nugget of wisdom. Today, we're going to talk about David. And most of you, if you've been around Sunday school at all, you've probably heard of David. He was the king of Israel. He was the little guy who took the slingshot and put the rock between Goliath's eyes, killed the big giant, cut off his head, and said, hey, look at me. So David's going to come down. David was considered one of the great kings of Israel. But here's the thing. David also made some terrible mistakes. His life was not perfect. Like, for example, he sent the army out to war and then saw one of his warrior's wives taking a bath and called her up, got her pregnant. And then to cover it up, he sent the husband out to the most dangerous part of the war so he would be killed, so it would try to cover it all up. Well, you couldn't hide it from God. God called him out on it, and matter of fact, he paid dearly for it. He actually lost a child over that. Yet, and if this doesn't get you excited, I don't know what will. Yet, God still chose David to be the line and the lineage through which Jesus would show up. Even after all of this stuff he had done, just not a perfect guy. But I think, though, that the reasons that God saw greatness in him, today we don't see as great. Today it doesn't equate to us with greatness. Greatness to us today has to do with what? Money? Fame? Now, for those of you who are 40 and up my age, there's this thing called a social influencer. Basically, these are people with nothing more to do than to film themselves all day, and they find a lot of other people who have nothing else to do but to film themselves all day, and then they give each other advice. TikTok. Yeah, it's TikTok, TikTok, Instagram, they snap all, and it's amazing. They can make millions of dollars doling out this influence. And I always want to know, who gave you influence? The Bible says of Jesus that he said, well, God gave me my authority. Who gave you yours? And I want to, you know, sometimes in these social influencers, like, really, what makes you smart? Can I get up on my soapbox for a minute? Good, I'm going to do it anyway. Like, just because somebody's famous doesn't make them smart. Our whole country, like, and praise God when they do, but a movie star can come and get saved, or an athlete comes and gets saved, and they truly meet Jesus. And the next thing you know, they're preaching on every stage they can get on. They just met Jesus yesterday. That's about like getting on, buying an airplane and giving a mechanic who just bought the book on how to fix the plane, but never actually fixed the plane, to let him fix your plane. He knows, may know how and have the ability, but there's no maturity. And we jump into this and we give these people, and we put a lot of pressure, maybe not even through, they don't desire it, but we put pressure on them to tell us something good, to give us this great wisdom. But see, we label these people this. You ever heard this title before? Yeah, and that's big now. Everybody's got a goat. Basketball's got a goat. Baseball's got a goat. Politics got a goat. Everybody's got a goat. Everybody, who's the goat? Who's the best? Who's the most powerful? Who's got the most money? They got lists you can look up on Google and have lists for days of who's got the most billions, who's got the most trillions, who's got the biggest car collection, who's got the biggest house, the most stuff, the most movies, who's the greatest of all times. You see, I think in God's eyes, none of that stuff is what he looks at. But I'm convinced of this. True greatness is when you leave a God mark on people's lives. Because the Bible said of the widow of Jesus, there's a story about the widow's mite, and the Bible says in that story, Jesus himself says, she's got the best faith of all of you. And she gave like 1/8 of a penny. So it can't be about money. So Jesus was noting that even in his life, seeing this faith, it marked him. And I wonder how many of us have these opportunities in life right here in little old Sylvania, and we just blow right by it when you had the opportunity to put what's on the inside of you and mark somebody's life for eternity. See, David would say that greatness is found in your fulfilled purpose. If you've been here very long at all, you've heard me say this, and I'm going to continue saying it until it gets through all of our thick heads. You were put here on purpose for a purpose. You were created for a purpose. You're not an accident. You weren't. God didn't go, well, I need somebody to do this, but I don't really have a perfect fit, so let me just choose somebody. No, God created you with something in mind, with a purpose in mind, to complete it, to be a part of this kingdom. That's why step one, step two is so important. But see, David, with all his faults, figured out something about how to have a relationship with God. Somewhere in his screwing it up, he figured out how to get it right. And God honored that and actually received from God some very distinguished honors that nobody else in the Bible God. The Bible says in Acts chapter 13, verse 22, that God testified concerning David. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, and will do whatever I need him to do, whatever I ask him to do. Not said about anybody else. David, essentially, even as king, had such an impact on the way we do church even today. He introduced really music into the Jewish tradition. Prior to David, the Jewish people, when they would, their instruments and their band would be the ones that march out front of the people of war. And they stuck the musicians out front. Well, David said, no, we need to have music and worship to our Father going on in every service all the time. So David actually assigned musicians to the temple daily. The Bible tells us that in 1 Chronicles. It says, if you want to find 1 Chronicles, go to the middle, hang a left, you'll get there eventually. But it actually says that these two guys were responsible for the sounding of trumpets, cymbals, and for the playing of instruments. So David's figured out something. God even goes on for David and said, hey, because all of the kings built tabernacles and they all kind of did it a little different. But God said of David, I'm going to rebuild David's tabernacle. That's of all of them, that's what I'm going to do. When I come back, and I think when we get to heaven and the Bible talks about in the end times, you'll see the rebuilding of the temple. I think David's got it is what's going to happen. David also did this. He changed the tent that they worshiped in, because it had to be mobile. He changed it from four-sided covered to only one-sided and open on three, because he wanted everybody to feel, and he actually talks about wanted everybody to feel like they could approach and see God, much like we do today. It's very much a type and shadow of what would come in the New Testament. The old style of worship was, you know, in the Old Testament, they had to make animal sacrifice to have the shedding of blood to atone for their sins. Well, that became all they really did. Well, David changed it. David said, we'll make our sacrifice, and then we're going to get down and worship. And then the band's going to play, much like we do today. Jesus paid once and for all the price. We don't have to make that sacrifice anymore, but that's why we come in and worship. That's why we come in excited about what God's done for us. But here's some nuggets. I'm going to throw some stuff at you. I think David would give us. I want to do something I don't normally do. This message is for everybody. Ladies and guys alike. But I'm going to ask all the guys watching online and all you guys in the room. Can I have all the guys in the room say something? How about a grunt? Remember the old tool man, Tim the Toolman Taylor? Come on now. I've heard y'all grunt at hogs and turkeys and all kinds of other animals. I know it's in you. Well, what I want to ask you to do today, I want you in particular to lean in a little bit. Lean in a little bit and listen. And just for a minute, take a mental second to just kind of open your heart a little bit. Because I really want to speak to some guys today. Ladies, it all applies to all of us, but just I had you guys on my heart today. Because the world today has so emasculated a Christian man who serves God, who is vocal about it, who can actually say, well, yeah, I'll pray in public, just a very minimal, who can be demonstrative about it. Even worse, you lead your family according to the Bible. You know, there's a group out to cancel you today. You can't do that. Who is better to look at than the Bible says a guy that is a guy after God's own heart? You see, David brought the ark. The story goes like this. The Ark of the Covenant is basically a box that God told in the early days, said, hey, put all this stuff in the box, and that's where my presence is. God wasn't dwelling here on the earth. So the short of the story is this box got taken, and David says, nope, we're going to get it. And David goes and leads his army and recaptures it, and him and all his army, they're bebopping back to Israel. And David decided that I'm not going to just lead this mission. I'm going to lead the way. And the Bible says that when David came into town, he was within eyeshot of his wife, and he decided he was going to get funky with it. And so the Bible says some people believe he was completely naked, some people believe he was just in his undies, and some believe he put on what was called a priestly garment, which was basically a see-through throwover. And the Bible says when David came down, man, he was getting with it. He was dancing. He was boogie time, anything you can think of. David was going for it. And the Bible says in 2 Samuel 16 that David ceremonially dressed in the priest's linen and then danced with great abandon. He just said, God, it's for you. He had to have known at this time, God, I've screwed up. I shouldn't even be here, but yet I'm here. You see, I think David would tell us this. Hey, live for the applause of only one. And notice that's a capital O. See, a lot of us, guys, I'm right there with you. I'm the same way. Ladies, let me help you out. For those of you who are married, about to be married, thinking about getting married, guys like to hear how good they are, even when we're not that good. Y'all are laughing because it's true. Guys want to come, I find myself doing it, and even doing it, I say, why do we do this? At our house, I was given a hammock. And so I went and bought 2 6x6 posts and just put some big posts in the ground, got them level, got them square. And I found myself having to feel like, Melanie, come out, look what I did. I put two posts in the ground. And somehow I needed to feel good. Some of you have built sheds and done cars. I've heard the story. Like, you work weeks to get a car going. And you call your wife out. Come, listen. And went, doesn't that sound great? And our wives are like, it's loud. It'll go fast. Great. But I can't drive it with the kids, you know. We crave this applause. And if we're not careful, we do that with the world. David said, listen, I'm going to dance out front with great abandon because I only care what one person thinks. The rest of you, it doesn't really matter to me. He goes so far as his wife gets all upset with him, says, well, you're just being undignified. You just can't do that. You're the king. And he says, listen, I love you, but I'm worried about him. I'm worried about the one who has control of my soul. I'm worried about the one who created me. And for guys, that's a hard thing to do. So I need one person to approve of me, and that's my Heavenly Father. The Bible says that David wanted nothing more than to hear this, I believe. In Matthew chapter 25, verse 23, it says that the master said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Notice it doesn't say, you are perfect, good job. Because I believe when we stand before God, for those of us who serve him and love him, even if you meet him later in life, if you're just saying, God, I want no applause, but the applause I get from you saying, well done, good and faithful servant. Well, okay, Clint, great. God thought a lot of David, his church, how he worshiped. How does that help me now and where I live right now? Good, I'm glad you asked that question. Because you need to know some things about you. And a lot of guys, we don't like to take this because it's seen, and the world now has made it seem, well, that's what the girls do. That's what the ladies do. I'll let my wife do that. But I really think it's time, and there's so many things. I'm trying to think how to say this appropriate for mixed presence. Guys, it's time we understand that we were created for something and just get off our rear ends and do it. And it's going to take not really caring what anybody thinks. I know a lot of you, and I know a lot of you, and we can have a conversation, and you have no hesitation whatsoever to tell me what you think. And people I know in the community, they'll tell me what they think and use colorful words to do it. But yet, when we stand before God, we don't want anybody to know. Don't judge me. I have private faith. You know, that's not in the Bible, actually. There, private faith, according to a lot of people smarter than me, will tell you that's not faith. Worship is worship in us. David realized something. He realized that you were built for worship. God created you to worship. God created us to be a part of his worship. And worship is not just music here. Singing Jesus Loves Me. Worship is not just listening to Christian radio. David decided my worship is going to be the very sacrifice of my life. And that's why he said, I'm just going to go with great abandon. And I'm going to let you have all of me. He lived for him and he lived for God knowing God had rescued him. But he also knew God had given him everything he needed to do it. Now, I want you to hear me because I can almost feel a lot of you tuning me out. Like, well, Clint, I ain't that guy that's going to stand up front and raise my hand. I ain't getting on the stage. I can't sing. I've got two left feet. I'm not. Don't push me away yet, okay? Don't push me away. Because it's not just about the music. In fact, God says in building his church, he's not building this building. The Bible says he's building us. It's me and you. As wonderful and as blessed as I am, and I think we are to have these beautiful buildings, this beautiful property, this is not the church. The Bible says, literally, where two or three of y'all gathered together, that's church. God, Bible says that he shows up. But you and me aren't. He's working on us. And the Bible says, I've built you to be a part of this. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, that now I say to you, he's given Peter a new name, and he actually names him Cornerstone, the rock. And he says, on you, and now he's talking to us, on you I'm going to build my church, on human, on a man, on us. It goes on to say in Matthew 5 that you are the light of the, come on, y'all all know that verse. You are the light of the
world.
Who's the light? We are. The Bible says that the light shines within us. And guys, we deny all this. No. I don't want anybody, don't look. Can't see it. See, you were built to be a vessel that people can see God in you. And I had a friend of mine tell me this. You're not just a vessel that people can see God in you. You're created as a vessel that people can see God in all the way around you. From every perspective. That somebody could come into your life and look at marriage and look at your kids and look at all these different parts of your life and go, yeah, I see God in that. They may not be able to explain it. They may not be able to go, well, that's, yeah, he serves God, but there's something different about that guy. There's something different going on there. You were built to be that vessel. That is why this is your job. Your job, our job, is not religion. It's relations. Relationship. Not religion, it's relationship. I had a guy tell me on an airplane one time, he found out, which I hate, if you've heard me tell these stories before, I hate sitting down in an airplane, and you sit down, and inevitably the guy or girl beside you go, oh, hi, I'm going to Charlotte, I'm in medical field. What do you do? I'm like, yeah, I'm a motivational speaker. That's what I do. And then, you'll usually end up telling people, because I'm not going to lie to people, but then they begin to ask you questions about your religion. I just don't like religious people. And they look at me like I'm funny when I say, well, me neither. Matter of fact, we don't like it when religious people won't get rid of their religion. That's why we go to the kind of church that I go to, is because we're not religious. It's about this relationship, about learning to know Daddy, learning to know a Father. David's worship in both his song and his service was this fertilizer that allowed him to grow closer to God and wrote most of the book of Psalms. David understood that his worship, his singing, his dancing, his instruments just drew him closer to God. I'll give you even this much. I even think it focuses our minds. Anybody else like me, if you need to focus on something, that you start thinking of everything else that you need to do, everything else that needs to go on. That sometimes when you even hear, I even challenge you, and even in your car, to be able to flip on one of the Christian radio stations. And just do me this favor. Even if you don't like it, just one trip from house to food line, from house to town, to work, whatever, just turn it on and leave it. And even complain, God, because I do too. I'm a music guy, and some Christian music is just dumb. Like, I just don't like it. And Melanie's the one that has to hear about it. Like, that's just dumb. None of those chords make any sense. It's not in the right order. What he's singing is not even biblical. But what it does, if you'll pay attention, and even in worship, the way we do our worship service, our whole thing is to bring in, we come in excited. This expression of love that we did today, it's kind of big. And I would love it, and if it ever happens, I'll probably just fall out on the stage. But if I look out there and y'all are mosh pitting and banging on each other and jumping around having a good time, great. But it's so that you come in and it's excitement. And then we begin to kind of focus in on, you're the one who saved my soul. You're the one who rescued me. You're the King of Kings. And it focuses your mind. And guys, I don't know about you, but for the men especially, sometimes that's a hard thing to do. When you got the pressures of life on you, just to focus. It's hard enough to even sometimes have a conversation with your wife. Anybody else? Any guys, you want to tell on yourselves? Like, your wife's talking, but all you hear is Charlie Brown. Wah, 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 wah. Oh, come on. I'm the only one? Bunch of liars. And it's not even that you're being disrespectful or don't care, but you come home, and I had one this week, and I had a lot on my mind, a lot on my shoulders, and it's just, And it's like, Melanie's talking, hey, Clint, yeah, okay. And she just, in my mind, just, see, I think we do the same thing to God. He starts talking, yeah, okay, yeah, right. I feel, wait a minute, I got to mow the lawn. I need some lawnmower blades. The chickens need some food. I got to do this. I got this meeting. And then the kids are going crazy, right? And you just completely lose focus. See, our job is not religion. Our job is relationship. And David even said, listen, as I worship, it focuses me on God, which focuses me on what I need to be talking to. And it works. I asked the praise team earlier, let me prove it, okay? I'm going to say the first part of a song, and I expect everybody in the room to finish it. You ready? You going to participate?
Yeah.
Okay. I got friends in. See? Immediately. Even if you hated country music, all of you went. Right? Another one, and I can't even do it, was they were talking about other music this morning. Here's this one. This is a tune. It leads into the words. Dong, 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 da, da, dong, dong. Dong, dong, dong. What is it? Come on. All you 90s babies, like Ice, Ice Baby. Right? Or one that's terrible, and I said I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to say it anyway. Is the whole phrase. It says, I like. Yeah. See, we all go there. Everybody. It focuses us right in. See, here's what we got to remember. God created music. God created all of this. People who say music has power, it really does. And I truly believe, guys, we lose the fact that there is a soft part in us that just needs to connect with God as a man. And worship does that. You were built to worship because your job is a relationship, not a religion. David actually wrote this in Psalm 19. It says, let my words in my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable. Why? Because God, you're the one who's got to hold me. You're the one who makes this all work. You see, the truth of the matter is you have the tools of praise and worship. They're tools. Use them. I know it's some of the darkest, hardest times in my life. And some of you who've been here before, again, you've heard me say this. But 18 years ago, when we got the diagnosis for Emma, I was PO'd at God. Like, really? And there were times where I just had to go into my office or come in here, and I know the neighbors thought I was crazy because I would just crank. It'll get loud in here. Y'all think it's loud when we do worship? It'll get loud in here. Like, so loud I couldn't hear myself think because I didn't want to hear myself think. Because just the more I thought, the angrier I got. And I realized there's power in praise and worship. And I'm not a vocalist. I know up here, and I laugh when I say this, but when I'm playing guitar up here, again, in my mind, I look like Eddie Van Halen, Kiss, and wow, that's what I see. But then I watch the video back, and I'm like, you know, in my head it's go ahead and jump, dang, dang, dang. But in raw reality, it's baby shark, right? Why? Because worship in me allows me to focus and has a tool that we can then, because you got to know this, you have a real enemy. And the enemy wants nothing more. And if he can't take your salvation, he can begin to separate you from God. If you want a tool to fight depression, discouragement, fear, condemnation, worry, temptation, physical issues, financial issues, then just lean into worship a little bit. The Bible says of worship, David writes this in Psalm 22. He says that you're holy and enthroned on the praises of Israel. In other words, the Bible says when you start participating in praise and worship, and sometimes it's just simply listening, again, turn on the radio and listen. The Bible says that God is in the midst of that, that he shows up in a big way. He shows up strong. He's there in force. David says in Psalm 27:6, he says, at his sanctuary, right here, I will offer sacrifices with shouts of joy, singing, praising the Lord with music. I'll never forget, I did a youth camp one time. It was in a it was a Methodist youth camp, and they had this little chapel. And on the wall at the chapel, it says, "For all people who read this, enter quietly with reverence for the good things he had done, he's done for us." And I get it. But it's not biblical. The Bible says you ought to come in the door and kick the door open and scream and holler. And y'all don't understand. I was about to spend eternity in hell and Jesus showed up. Y'all don't understand. I was smoking this, doing this, saying this, living this way, and God loved me anyway. And get excited about it. Yeah, we walk in the door like a bunch of monks. And it's not that it's wrong, but it's not what David said. Now, please don't anybody get the bright idea next week to come in your tighty-whities saying, "Let's ready to worship." That's not what we're talking about. We'll have somebody with a badge help you out the door. But that you show up with some reality of, hey, I can change the atmosphere here, because when I get excited about God, I leave a mark on other people's lives. See, I've watched some of you in your best, again, in your best Garth Brooks, singing karaoke. Yeah, there's videos out there. Yeah. I've seen them. You may have been 3 or 4 cans in, 5, 6, 7 cans in, but we're singing. Karaoke, well, yeah, you can't sing. Look, doesn't matter. But we come in here and it's just like, whew. And I don't say that in judgment, because we've all done it. Some of you are the best shower singers in the world. But it's telling God, hey, God, I thank you. I should be excited about it. David goes even further in Psalm 149 and says, "Let them praise his name with dancing." Lord heaven, you're talking about dancing in church. And I can't dance. I got 3 left feet. I've never tried. Again, in my head, I'm awesome, but when it just don't get down there somehow. But look what it goes on to say. It says, "For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns them with humble victory. Let his faithful people rejoice in his honor," and do what? Sing. Nowhere in there does it say sing on key. Nowhere in there does it have to say you have to sound like a professional vocalist. If that was the case, we're all in trouble. Don't get me wrong, we have a great praise team, and all the people who lead and sing, they're very talented. But every now and then, I just have to remind them, ain't nobody paying us for this. And we're not that good. We just love Jesus. Sometimes I think we need to remember that. You need to sing. Even if it's at a whisper, make some noise. Sing in honor. And it says sing for joy. Sing for what God's done for you. But I do think this, and I'll close with this. Here's what I think David would leave us with. We round the last lap. Okay, David, give me one thing. Give me one thing. What would it be? I think it would be this. I think David would say, repent, don't repeat. Amen. The one thing about David that is amazing to me, and one thing that stands out, David had his issues. He had his sin. He had his anger. He had his lust. He had all kinds of issues. He had distrust of God. God told him to not do some stuff until later, because it wasn't time, and David did it anyway because he wanted to know the answer. But one thing David had was he's very quick to repent. And all through the book of Psalms, David said, "God, I'm sorry. God, I repent." He let God in close. As the ushers, you guys can go ahead and do the lights. He let God in close. But here's something else. He also let God's people in close. David had people in his life that could speak to him and go, "Hey, man, you're getting kind of off kilter here." and he let people in, that he began to develop and get closer in that relationship with God. Instead of, again, I'm going to lean out to the guys, instead of trying to fix it on your own. It doesn't work. I tell people, listen, if you're new here, please hear my heart, and then I'll tell you. I tell people this a lot. And they come to me, Clint, I'm not ready for church. I don't think I like it, or I'm just not ready for God. I think I can do it this way. And I'll tell them, okay, I still love you. We'll still go eat together. We'll still go hang out together. Go try it. But you know what? You'll be back. Because you'll figure out that I can't fix this. I can't stop this. I can't start this. I need God to help me. See, David let God and his people in. And probably one of my favorite Psalms is this, in Psalm 32. David writes, "Finally, I confessed all of my sins, stopped trying to hide my guilt, and I said to myself, I'm just going to have to confess that I'm not doing this right. And I love this line, and you forgave me, and my guilt is gone." See, most of the book of Psalms, if you don't know this, was actually written as songs. They played them. It was music. You look in your Bible, and a lot of the places it'll say, "A Song of David, written for the choir director, A Song of David." And that's why I believe there's just something God, when God created music, he created power, and the world's kind of taken it for its own because it's something that can get you those earworms. Mabel taught me a new term, which, again, I'm 46. I'm not that old, but I feel old around them. Apparently, you can get Rickrolled. Anybody knows what that is? Mabel's like, "We Rickroll some people today." I'm like toilet paper, TP? You know, no, Daddy. Why? Because music has power, and it gets in your head. And see, I think we need to give God his fair share in between our ears. But then I think this is where David would leave us. You can go ahead and bow your head and close your eyes. I want to read this to you. In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, quoting him, it says, "Now is the time to change your ways, to turn your face to God, so he can wipe away your sins." And then I love this. "To pour out showers of blessing to refresh you." Some of you today need that. You need God just to go, "Life is hard. I'm here, God, I'm in church. I don't really want to be. Somebody made me come, my wife, my friend. But God, yeah, if you can do something, do something." And that's going to be my prayer today. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Maybe this is you. We never leave here without offering you the chance. The Bible says that if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, that Jesus just is who he says he is, the Son of God who came and died and rose again for me, to pay for my bill, to pay my sins. And the Bible says eternity is yours. But it also says the closer you come to God, the steps you take to him, he takes them back at you. That the King of Kings comes to you. If that's you this morning, it's a simple prayer. God, I receive you. I'm not going to repeat my mistakes. I'm going to repent from them and let you help me. In Jesus' name. If that's you this morning, just fill out the little card in front of you. In a minute, you can drop it in the offering on the way out. If you're online or on your app, you can send us a message. "Hey, that was me." We'll send you some stuff.